It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome back to the roast. It's been far too long, and we have breaking news. Breaking news. Trent Williams is extending his deal. He's back in the facility, or he will be in moments, to finalize a new deal, and he'll be ready to go for Monday Night Football against the New York Jets. He boarded the private jet last night with the big old dog and his brother. His agent is telling Schefter and Rappaport, hey, it's close enough to where we can report the practice today to get ready for the New York Jets in the season opener at Levi's Stadium for Monday Night Football. So a week ago, we had no idea if Brandon Ayuk was going to be on board. We didn't know if Trent Williams was going to be on board. Well, you know what? We got a full squad now, and everybody's ready to roll to get back to New Orleans to go get a damn Super Bowl championship. Let's freaking go!
And Trent's back!
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Spadoni's back.
Oh, yeah.
And Lubman's back.
Oh, yeah.
Well, do you got my sound?
Let me know when you find that. I don't really care about Lubman. I mean, the Miami Hurricanes look like they're all the way back.
Cam Ward?
Cam Ward was special. But they got that defensive line, and they've got a running back, and they've got receivers, and they've got corners, and they got the swagger, and they're still a Florida's recruits, and they're doing the gator chomp in the swamp, and Crystal Ball's talking that talk, and I got to watch DJ just stink it up yesterday for Florida State. But who cares about that?
Trent Nyheke is back. Oh, and two. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
DJ looked horrible.
He's terrible.
Can you stop the run? Bill O'Brien was sweating. I know we're going to get into the Niners, so just real quick. Bill O'Brien was sweating so much.
You know how humid it was out there?
Oh, my God.
It was super humid. It was bad. Florida State's done. DJ's done.
Florida State's done.
By the way, Old Takes Exposed got me again.
How did Old Takes Exposed get you?
I tell you how they got me. I know what happens here. Oh, by the way, Christian McCaffrey returned to practice today, too.
Oh, yes.
The cash trade is gone. Chris McCaffrey is ready to roll. Brock Purdy is ready to roll. Deebo Samuel is ready to roll. And by the way, before we even continue, our thoughts and prayers to Ricky Pearsall for what happened Saturday down at Union Square. Thankfully, he is alive. He is doing well. He's going to miss at least the first 4 weeks of the season to get right. But Ricky Pearsall, we're praying with you. Thank God he's okay. He's already been released from General Hospital down there in Petrel. So Ricky Pearsall is okay, but he's gonna miss the first 4 games. But I don't want to get that out there. We never condone violence. We never condone what happened there with gunplay or whatnot. But he's doing okay, Shasky.
Yeah, you know. And we'll just, I want to get this out of the way, and we're gonna obviously keep our thoughts and prayers with the young man. He's lucky to be alive.
Yeah.
I mean, the young man is lucky to be alive. An inch this way, an inch that way. He might not walk again. He might not live again. I mean, it's just a horrific situation. And it is not partisan to say that everybody wants their family to be raised in a safer community, whether it's San Francisco, Walnut Creek, Fresno, you know, Dallas, Texas, New York, Chicago, Illinois, Naperville, like pick wherever you want to live. Okay. We all agree with that. And you can't control idiot, crazy people who are doing criminal, dumb activities. Yep. And it just sucks. And I, you know, I don't want to make any excuses. This is one of those main situations where about 50 things can be true simultaneously. Yep. But the overarching theme should be, you know, hold your loved ones. Try to be a good person and pray to God that this young man like gets out of this situation and is able to live a normal life again, which it sounds like he's going to be able to, you know, and this should not be, I don't want any. We're not going to take any. We're not taking calls on what's wrong with society and blah, blah, blah. We can all have our own feelings on things. This isn't a blue versus red. This isn't a mayor versus that.
You don't even need to bring that up.
No, but I want to make this very clear. It's like, you know, it's a sucky situation where a young man, you know, hopefully is going to be able to recover from this. And some moron did a horrible thing, and I'm hoping that he gets punished. That's very, very simple. And you know, his mother put out an unbelievable, you know, Facebook post that kind of made the rounds. I'm talking about Ricky Pearsall's mom. And she's right. It's like, look, this is someone's son, right?
Yeah.
He's under 25 years old. He's still a kid. To me, he's still a kid. All right?
21.
And it's just, it sucks. And I hope he's going to be okay. And I'm praying for him. And it sounds like he got lucky and he's going to be all right. And that's the most important thing. And for two native San Franciscans, it just sucks to see all the rhetoric regarding our city. Our city's not perfect. Our city's not perfect, but we're going to move on.
Yeah, we don't even need to get into that. Enough was said on Twitter, and people have their opinions, and I'm not here to change them. But it was a flesh wound. The bullet didn't hit any vital organs, so thank the heavens for that. That could have went awry very quickly. And, you know, Sergeant Joel Harrell recounted the response to the Pearsall shooting. This is really good. This is courtesy of NBC Bay Area, Sergeant Joel Harrell.
Holding him. And I was like, okay, just be calm. You know, we're here. You know, we're going to take care. Everything's okay. And I could see his breathing started getting faster. I could feel his body changing. I see him look down, and he looks at me. He goes, I'm going to die. And I just like, no. I take off my hat because I wanted to make eye contact with him. I wanted him to hear me. And I said to him, listen, look at me. I know you don't know me, but I want you to trust me. It's not your time. God is here with us, okay? Please be calm and breathe. You're strong, okay? I want you to be strong like you are out in the field. Just breathe. And he looked at me and he listened. He did it. And that helped so much.
And he could have saved a life. Shout out to Sergeant Joel Harrell. Shout out to her for hearing the scene. And you read the story when the shots happened. She was down the street. She was like, whoa, that's not just fireworks. That's something happening here. And so she got the help. She called police. They got the shooter, 17-year-old young man from Tracy, California. And Ricky Pearsall is alive. He was able to leave the hospital a day later. He's back home. His family's probably around him. He's going to miss the first 4 weeks of the season. And it's a tough start to his rookie season when you consider the hamstring injury and the shoulder injury, and now you get shot. But you know what? The young man survived. He's doing well. John Lynch and 49er staffers was at General Hospital to make sure that he was okay. But to recount that situation, look, I've never been shot. I can imagine what it's like to feel that and be in that situation. There's probably all kind of panic through Ricky Pearsall's mind.
Adrenaline.
The Sergeant Joel Harrell was able to calm him down, tell him that, hey, you're going to be okay. I got you. You're in good hands. So, hell of a story there. You can hear the emotions coming from her voice. She's getting choked up there, Shasky. And I'm getting choked up just listening to that.
Well, you know, I've got a lot of different friends and family, that, and I know you do too, that are deep into, you know, police work, right? Yeah. There are police officers, and these people do risk their lives. And I know that there's a variety of feelings regarding the police and whatnot. And they're around the corner. There's a mobile unit right there. It's just some crazy moron doing something stupid, and Ricky's lucky to be alive. Yeah. And thank God for this woman being there, this officer to be there. And so, and look, I don't want to take calls all day about, you know, what's right and what's wrong in our society. We all know what's going on. You have an opportunity to, you know, go vote in November, and hopefully you take that serious and you think about your community. Because I know you have a young daughter, and I have a young boy, and I want to see them be able to take the streetcar downtown and to be able to hang out, and that sucks. And Ricky's lucky to be alive, legitimately lucky to be alive.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it is, wow, what a situation. It's just crazy, crazy news, because we started getting texts around the same time about the news, and I was like, uh-oh. this might be real because everybody knows somebody, right? Everybody knows somebody in the city, but he's okay. And that's the most important thing, that Ricky Pearsall is okay and he's still alive and he'll be able to progress and continue his football career at some point, the thing that he loves to do. So with that said, Trent Williams is back. And I know it's a tough and very uncomfortable segue there, but Trent Williams is back. Brandon Ayuk is back. Christian McCaffrey's back on the practice field. And when we talk about this offense, because we're all confused and dazed about what was going on with hold-ins and hold-outs, are we ready to see this offense score 30 points a game again? Are we ready to see this offense break franchise records? Are we ready to see Brock Purdy elevate to another level? Are we ready to see B.A. Debo do work, who, by the way, has had a great training camp? And, oh, by the way, George Kittle's had a great training camp. I'm ready to roll, folks. Are you ready to roll? Come on.
Am I ready to roll? Here's the pivot for you. Hit me with my sounder. All aboard. Let's go. All aboard. Hop on the 49er train. Let's go. Where's the Super Bowl this year, Bonte?
In New Orleans, baby.
Let's go. We got CMC. Hit me with the sound. We got Trent Williams back. We got Brandon Ayuk back. We got Kyle Shanahan dressed in a Great Gatsby all-white outfit. I don't know what the hell he's wearing.
What was that?
Rick Ross. Rick Ross. Hey, I don't know. But listen, 50 Cent was just annihilating Rick Ross last week because they got beef all the time. Rick Ross flies out. I followed his entire Instagram story. He was at his house talking about hosting the Tyson and Holyfield fight in his lawn. He's sitting there just, hey, man, I got five bathrooms. I got this. I got that. That's what you know. He's hanging out with Kyle Shanahan, Brandon Ayuk, and Debo Samuel the same night that Ricky Pearsall got shot. So it definitely rubbed people the wrong way with that one. But what is Shanahan is feeling it right now. He's feeling it.
Possibly.
This may be the year, Shanny. This may be the year, Shanny.
You know, we did an exercise last week, Joe Spadoni and I, where we said, I say Kyle Shanahan, you say what? And it was really interesting. And hearing just the Niner fan base, and look, you lose the Super Bowl, and you lose it in overtime, and you lose it in the fashion that they did with all the sound, and it felt like you didn't know the rules, right? Whether they did or didn't, it felt like they weren't prepared for the moment.
Let's
right?
just say, it wasn't a good look.
It wasn't a good look. It does feel like, although people think he's really good at what he does, he's got some fatal flaws. And that was the overarching theme. It was like, man, Shanahan knows how to build up a team. He knows how to, you know, create a roster, maximize play calling, etc. Can he win the big one? Like, that's the number one thing. And I look at the team this year and I'm like, all right, I know next year there's a lot of uncertainty. We don't know what the cap holds. We don't know what's going to happen with Brock Purdy. We don't know what's going to happen with Debo and all these Shasky, different guys. This is their best team.
Shasky, can I just say something real quick about next year and a year after? The NFL is now a year-to-year league.
Of course.
Now you have your pillars, and if you can find a franchise quarterback, you got something to build around. If you got a left tackle to somebody to build around, you got a left tackle to build around. You got a wide receiver, great. You could build on around a wide receiver or a defensive end or whatnot. But it's become a year-to-year league. And I say that because I don't care about Brock Purdy's contract right now. I don't care about Debo Samuel's extension or what's going to happen with him after the season. I don't care about Mooney Ward's contract or Deommodore Lenore's contract at this moment. I care about winning football games. I care about the team avenging what happened in Las Vegas back in mid-February, Shasky. That's what I care about. I don't care about future contracts right now. I just don't.
Well, I don't think most people do, but just look around the league. You're talking about Kirk Cousins. He just signed a $200 million deal. Does anyone think he's going to be the quarterback there next year?
No, we don't think he's going to be the quarterback in November.
Okay, Russell Wilson. How big of a deal did they swung 8,000 picks for Russell Wilson. A year later, Sean Payton's like, get out of my life.
Exactly.
Right? So to your point, yeah, we have no idea.
No idea.
So that's why I'm saying, but like, right now, I'm all on board for this year.
Yeah, all in on this year. All in on a team that averaged over 29 points a game last season. They had four guys go over 1,000 scrimmage yards last year. And by the way, Brock Purdy, the league leader of franchise history when it comes to passing yards in a season. I mean, this offense is ready to lock and load.
Another thing I don't think anybody wants to hear as we get ready for the Jets, and I got a lot of Jets stuff. I know we got a long week ahead of us as we wait for it. I don't give two rips about if the Niners won, if Ayuk won, if, you know, who won the negotiation, did it work? You know what I care about? Like, are you good a month in? Like, after a month, are you playing good football? Is the team playing good football? Oh, we've got Brandon Ayuk for the entire season. Fantastic. Because I know when he's out there, this team is way better with Brandon Ayuk as opposed to whatever combination of draft picks were out there that they could have gotten.
I don't give
two rips if he got 28, 26, 31. He's here, and let's just go from here.
Hey, he's here, and he's happy.
Yes.
He's happy.
Did you see the ear-to-ear smile?
the ear-to-ear smile.
Can I retire one thing, though?
What's that?
The quill pen.
No, I love the quill pen. That's a Niner tradition. The quill pen is great.
Get the quill pen.
I love the quill pen.
The red quill pen silly.
I love the quill pen. Matter of fact, I want a quill pen. I want to start writing all my notes with quill pens. Honestly, maybe Baby Chez would even write even more with the quill pen. Anyway, he's back. And you know what, what made me happier? About the Brandon Ayuk deal. It wasn't the money. It wasn't the fact that he's back on the field. It wasn't the fact that he's playing against Sauce Gardner, the New York Jets. It's a video Baldy put out Friday. A Baldy breakdown of Brandon Ayuk in the Super Bowl. And Baldy breaks down the Super Bowl. And it's all Brandon Ayuk. And he goes, I think people underrate this guy. Look at the Chiefs bracketing him. With two corners, Trent McDuffie and LeJarius Sneed. So all the dialogue, when we just talk football, forget the numbers. Mm-hmm. We talk football. Well, does Brandon Ayuk really demand a double team? He's the fourth option on the team. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs treated Brandon Ayuk like the number one option in the pass game. They bracketed him multiple times. And then Baldy breaks it down saying, you know what? Look at him when he's in one-on-one coverage. He wins. He wins over and over and over. And then the run blocking aspect where he's getting down and dirty. We got our premium player back on board there. So we got a legit threat everywhere. Ayuk, Debo, McCaffrey, Trent's back. It might get ugly for the New York Jets on Monday Night Football. I actually feel sorry for them right now.
Well, and I think about, like, what have they added since last year, that Super Bowl loss? Well, offensively, they've added a better right guard.
Oh.
It feels like Pooney is better than where Burford and Feliciano were at the end of last year. Yep. Would you agree with me?
Absolutely.
All right. It feels like every other weapon is there offensively. Juwan Jennings being back in the fold. But I think adding Jacob Cowing, I think that gives them a speed element that they haven't really had at wide receiver since Marquise Goodwin. Then I look at defense. I mean, I don't know what the middle of the defensive line is going to look like, but I think Leonard Floyd is already better than the combination of what they had last year at defensive end. And then I look at the safeties. Now that Talanoa is back, boy, it feels like, you know, Jair Brown and Talanoa, that's pretty good safeties. And if they're going to go cover three, you're going to have one of those guys in the box. I don't know. I really like where they're at defensively. I think we're looking at a top five, six, seven defense this year. And I don't think we talk enough about the defense.
And it sounds like they may play a little bit more man. And Nick Sorensen alongside Brandon Staley. I love Brandon Staley, the addition of a former head coach in the building. Now, Brandon Staley may move on after the season, but him being up in the press box, being up in the booth, looking down at everything defensively, I love where the 49ers are at right now. Jacob Cowing, watch out now. Watch out now. And then you know what? Chris Conley's come a long way. Juwan Jennings has come a long way. The Niners are as deep as they ever were offensively, defensively. I think they're going to get after the quarterback. Again, Monday Night Football can't come soon enough. The Jets are in trouble, folks. Breaking news, Trent Williams is back. By the way, our clocks are all messed up. It says 12:41:48.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute, it's 12:41. What the hell's going on? DirecTV's off? They don't have a contract with Disney? What the hell's going on around here? I leave for a week.
Sounds like you got to rely on your producers. Oh, boy.
That's going to be tough.
Are you Nathaniel Hackett or are you North Turner as a coordinator?
I'm Lincoln Riley over the weekend. How about that?
Well, you know what? Let's get into that real quickly on the other side. Real quick. They made a hire that I think is the most underrated hire in the country.
The D coordinator from UCLA.
Also, Brian Kelly, please. Oh.
By the way, how happy is everybody going to be for the Reagan Gold Summit this Wednesday, which is tomorrow at Fremont Bank in Fremont, 39150 Fremont Boulevard. Willard or Dibs will start things off from 2 to 4. Rest of the hosts will join from 4 to 6 to talk about the biggest storylines surrounding the 49ers at the start of the season. And you can come and watch as well. Space is limited. First come, first serve. Plus Baldy today at 7:30 on the River Islands guest line. Can't wait for that. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Chilton Auto Body.
Crack, crack, crack. What up? This is Big Pump in South City. You are now listening to The Morning Motherfucking Rose with my boys Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, we may need some big extra plug, too. I'm the biggest. I'm the baddest, because I thought about Trent Williams ASAP. East Texas in the building. He got on a private jet last night. Everybody's tracking the plane. Well, he's in the Bay Area, and the breaking news is from Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, from everybody out there, including his agent. Trent Williams will be at practice today. They're close enough to where a new deal will get worked out. Trent Williams, look, man, probably just wanted to skip training camp. Who the hell knows? Maybe bigger news, too. This is equally important. Christian McCaffrey's back in practice, folks. Christian McCaffrey's back.
And further proof that the cap is just completely fake, the 49ers this morning, via SpoTrack, converted basically $7 million of Malik Collins' 2024 salary into a signing bonus, adding three void years, essentially freeing up another $5.5 million for this year, and they have a league-wide $51 million in cap space heading into Week One.
Can we stop freaking out about who's going to sign and whether or not we have money for this guy? Because for 3 years, I heard you can't have Deebo and Ayuk. You got to pick one or the other. No, you don't. If you want them on the same team, you can keep them on the same team.
As long as they're good. The team's got to be good. Right. That's the number one thing. The
team's got to be good, number one, no doubt. Yeah. And the team's going to be good for a long time. That's why this whole cap thing where it's like, you don't have enough money for him. He's got to wait his turn. This stuff is all hyperbolic. It's nonsense. The cap is not. I saw the Saints 1 year. They were like $100 million over the cap. And somehow, some way, they were ad dudes. The L.A. Rams were over the cap and had no picks. What happened? They kept all their dudes. If you want to keep your premium players, there's a will, there's a way to manipulate the dollars and the cents. And the Niners have done it once again. Trent Williams is back. Chris McCaffrey's back on the field. Brandon Ayuk's. I'm so damn happy this morning, folks.
I
swear to God, I'm ready to roll.
I am too. I'm super fired up. And I just want to get into coordinators for a second. And I'm going to swing this all the way back to Nick Sorensen in a second. A good coordinator can elevate the entire roster. And a bad coordinator can ruin a season.
Yep.
Now, I think that Steve Wilks was on the closer to the bad scale than he was to the great scale, but he's not the worst I've ever seen. Like, think about it, Niner fans. Mike Nolan was so subject to whoever the offensive coordinator was. If he didn't have a great offensive coordinator, he was doomed. He couldn't do anything on that side of the ball, right? Could he? I mean, like, Norv Turner was the offensive coordinator with Alex Smith.
Right.
And it was like, oh, my God, Alex might be a player. You know, like, wow, Larry Allen, Frank Gore, we're cooking something.
And then on came along Jim Hostler.
And then it was, you know, Mike Johnson. And
how about Jimmy Ray with Jimmy Mike Ray?
I mean, and let's just call it what it is. Mike Nolan was doomed, right? He was doomed. Lincoln Riley right now for the USC. They couldn't stop a nosebleed the last decade, I would say, USC's defense. They looked phenomenal.
Oh, they were great.
And they hired this guy, D'Anthony Lynn, who's Anthony Lynn's son, and it looks like he's the hot-to-trot defensive coordinator.
He was at UCLA last year.
Exactly, and apparently there was an arms race to get him, and boom, they got him. Think about what Andy Reid has with Spagnuolo.
Oh, it's great. Spags is a great defensive coordinator.
You can make the argument Spags was the best coordinator in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. The best coach in the Super Bowl, maybe.
Of all the Shanahan, Andy Reid, you know, Wilkes. You can make the argument Spags was the man. I don't think Tom Coughlin wins without Spagnuolo. I don't think Andy Reid wins this last one without Spagnuolo. Like, this guy is an extremely important guy. Bill Belichick with Bill Parcells, right? How important was that?
Oh,
Mike Holmgren for George Seifert early on. Like, the coordinator matters. Now I'm going to swing it back to Nick Sorensen. I am extremely optimistic and excited about Nick Sorensen because I do think, as critical as I've been of Brandon Staley, having outside influence, a guy who runs a completely different scheme, I think it's a really good thing. They needed to shake it up a little on that defensive side of the ball. Yeah, still run a lot of the same principles that Bosa and Warner love. No doubt. You want to keep those guys happy. But having wrinkles and having some outside influence, I think it's only going to help this team.
Brandon Staley is a very good addition. As much as we laugh at him, I think having a former head coach, who hit rock bottom with the Chargers, let's be real.
Yeah.
Needed to kind of reset, get around Shanahan, get around a winning culture, just get around something different.
Didn't he need PR,
eyes.
PR rehab?
Yeah, no doubt. And he's going to rehabilitate himself in the San Francisco organization. Now, when it comes to Nick Sorensen, he's been with this organization since 2022. So he's been around these players. He's been around his coaching staff. He's been around this fan base. He's been in this organization. And he's worked himself up. Defensive assistant, of course, defensive pass game specialist, nickelback coach, DBs to play very, very well. And now he's a D coordinator. So a lot of the same concepts as you just mentioned, they're going to run. But it also feels like they may run a lot more man defense because they have a lot of trust in these corners. And Deamonor Lador, Charvarius Ward, and Renardo Gree may get a lot of snaps here. I really love the cornerback room. So Nick Sorensen being in the system, kind of like DeMeco Ryans. Remember, he was a linebacker coach, learning under Saleh. Got to learn from Saleh, knew the system. Boom! Now all of a sudden he's a D coordinator, they take off. It's a great, great move. Just a nice little subtle move. Not a lot of pressure in. It's still, by the way, what Crocker told us last year. Crocker told us last year, Shanahan's a real defense coordinator. He's in the defensive meeting groups. He wants to run his scheme or whatnot. So Shanahan still has his fingerprints on him. So that's
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's why I'm extremely happy. If you didn't, Wilkes didn't know the defense, he couldn't bring no assistance here, whatever. Get your guys. Sorensen is his guy. He seems to be adapting very well. And so coordinators are very important. And by the way, we got the best best offensive coordinator in the game in Kyle Shanahan. So coordinators are very, very important.
Don't you think when we talk about Kyle Shanahan, if I just ask the average fan, most of them will be like play calling, you know, in-game specifics of adjustments and pre-snap motion. Like you might get a lot of offenses. I think his most unique attribute, he's found a way to refill this coaching staff year after year after year. You know how hard it is to hit on two straight DCs, let alone, you know, you can say what you want about Steve Wilkes. I think it was a miss, but it wasn't like it doomed their season.
No, they made the Super Bowl, lost in overtime.
Right? Now, think about, like, he's lost Mike McDaniel. He has lost the guy who's Bobby Slowick, who's the passing coordinator and was the passing coordinator, is now the offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans. He's lost so many different guys, and we know LaFleur at one point was here, and he worked with McVay, and he's worked with a lot of different guys. To refill his cupboard of staff, I think it's just an underrated quality. That's the Bill Walsh quality.
Well, that's the Bill Walsh quality. It's the Bill Parcells quality. It's the Bill Belichick quality. I mean, how many offensive coordinators? I know we had Josh McDaniels for a long time, but he also went through a stretch with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
Right? And you know what
sweaty
I'm saying?
Bill.
So, sweaty old Bill. It was very humid in Tallahassee last night. And boy, DJ, you want to talk about tragic. Oh my God, that was just painful.
Very Trey Lance-like last night.
That was.
Hates to say it.
Nah, Trey Lance didn't miss that bad. Oh. I mean, this guy DJ was missing dudes wide open by like 10 yards. Missing dudes wide open.
Ooh, this is the ghost of Trey Lance.
I mean, DJ
Boston
Lord.
College looked like ooh.
I mean, so Old Takes Exposed got me last night. Now I'm getting tagged all over the place.
What are Old Takes Exposed for those who aren't online?
So good point. Good stuff. So Old Takes Exposed, freezing cold takes. He can play. What is Old Takes? What is freezing cold takes? So freezing cold takes is an account that takes everybody's bad take, and they just resurface it.
Oh.
So if somebody makes a prediction, they take it and they post it and people laugh at you or whatnot. I've been on there about six times. It's all good. I laugh at it. It's pretty funny.
Well, you're a high volume shooter. Some would say you're the Kyle Korver of takes.
No. Not the Kyle Korver. The Kobe Bryant of takes, buddy. Gotta have a take, first of all. There's a lot of people who are scared to have a take in
I'm
this
with
business.
You on that. I'm with you on that.
I got takes.
You're like Joe Namath, actually, now that I think about it. You finish with more interceptions and touchdowns, but you're known for certain predictions.
So, Hall of Famer right there.
Speaking of which, Evan Barnes, who I got to see at the U.S. Open, our buddy Evan Barnes, who we had on during the Memphis series, now writes for the, who's he write for? The New York Times.
I don't know.
New York Daily News. Okay. New York Daily News.
The New York Daily News, okay.
He just replied to me, man, we all hoped that DJ was going to be that dude. He was the real deal in high school. Now it looks prophetic that Bryce Young passed him up during their senior years. But here's the greatest part about the tweet. So I tweet, and this was after the Notre Dame game because everybody was hyped up off the Notre Dame game.
Yeah, it was one of the great games.
It was unbelievable. Overtime. We thought he was the better quarterback on the team, best quarterback on the team. I tweeted, I believe DJ could be a top 15 pick in the 2021 NFL draft.
Yikes.
Hashtag Clemson. My boy Zach Poff, who now runs for Max Preps, we went to SS State together. He replied, this is back on November 7, 2020. I'm not even lying, but I think he would be the number one pick over his teammate right now.
That was with Trevor Lawrence.
The reply was worse than the tweet.
That's a rarity. It never happens like that.
So a lot of people are like, yo, I'm not going to lie. That Notre Dame game had me feeling the same way.
Everybody
but
felt
like
that
some
way.
People like, oh, Bonte, you're getting cooked. I don't care. This is funny. I was cracking up like, wow, what a bad take 4 years later. Got to have a take, though.
Well, look, I just want you to know, this college football season, there are so many athletes, so many quarterbacks, so many players I'm looking at. This lefty for Oregon, woo!
I don't know about Gabriel.
I like him.
Gabriel?
He's got a few years to go.
Where'd he go? He went to Central Florida.
Yeah, he's got a few years
Didn't
to go.
Didn't he go to Oklahoma?
Yeah, I like him. Cam Ward?
Cam Ward. I like Cam Ward a lot. I like Cam Ward a lot. Yeah, I saw it. It made me sick to my stomach.
The Georgia quarterback?
Carson Beck's going to probably be the
number one
pick.
How about number 12, Travis Hunter for Colorado?
Milroe looked better.
How about the Tennessee
Travis Hunter. What about Shador Sanders?
Shador's fine.
Shador's going to be a top 15 pick.
I think Hunter's the best player in the country.
Best player in the country? Oh, I got a take on that. I don't know. I saw some dudes in Georgia who may have an argument there. You see their lineman?
Yeah, the one guy hurt his ankle.
Jeez. All right. Dollar Fries Baseball Guys podcast. Anybody still listening? Anybody still watching the Giants? Not the Rippy guys. But boy, the people on the East Coast are laughing at us being Giants fans. Oh, my God. I got to see Soto, Judge, and Stanton go back to back to back. And I come back and I see the Giants lose a series to the damn Marlins. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. The Giants, out of sight, out of mind. 888-957-9570. Niner fans, come on. Trent's back. McCaffrey's back. Ayuk's back. I want to hear from you. Let's roll, baby. The journey to New Orleans starts on September the 9th against the New York Jets. Let's go. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
What up? This is Turtle Pie Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Yay!
Yay is right. 888-957-9570. Niner fans, Trent Williams is back. The 11-time Pro Bowl offensive tackle, left tackle, we should say, is back in the fold. He flew in last night. His brother posted it on Instagram. Middle of the night. Big Trent, what kind of dog was that, Shasky? You're a dog guy. What kind of dog was that?
You didn't see the dog?
Yeah,
send it to me. I'll take a look at it.
It's in the thread. Shows you how much Shasky
While you do that, let me give you some high school football scores. Anybody out there, send them to us. Little quick recap. Very quickly here. SI got destroyed by San Ramon Valley 28-10.
So San Ramon Valley
is very good.
Very good. But they lost a linebacker, right? The linebacker went to Reardon, apparently, from San Ramon Valley.
I don't know that.
Anyway, he's like, I think he's going to like an SEC school, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, Reardon won 35-34 shootout over McClymonds at McClymonds. Sacred Heart wins 42-0 over Soledad. Just a couple of the ones that came across my timeline.
Private schools? No, no public schools, Shasky?
Well, just getting you ready for your daughter, you know?
Solidad's a public school.
What?
It's out in the Salinas Valley.
Yeah, McClymans is a public school.
No,
where is Solidad?
It's like in past like Salinas, if you're going more east in like the valley.
Bye-bye, Salinas.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, shout out to Sacred Heart Cathedral. That's a big win for Reardon. McClymans is usually in a state championship game every single year.
They came back.
That's a huge, huge win. I saw the highlights.
Yeah, two touchdowns.
John Tofi's son had the highlights. John Tofi, shout out to him.
Who was also a very large human being.
Yeah, John Tofi Cabal. I remember he was playing in the Pro-Am, SF Pro-Am one year. And, you know, I was doing the PA, public address announcing at the Pro-Am. And so usually, you know, basket score by John Tofi, assisted by so-and-so. So one time he dropped the dime. I just credited the guy who scored the best basket. And Tofi looks over and goes, I can't get no credit for my dime. The hell? Assist by John Tofi. He's a man, though. He's
good,
dude.
That's pretty
good. He's a great dad, dude. He played overseas for a long, long time.
Let's go. I want people to send us to some high school games this year.
My nephew, Jayden Jefferson, scored a touchdown in the first game of the season against Grant High School in Sacramento. Yeah. They beat Grant 42-6. I was watching on my phone at a casino in Philly. Jayden Jefferson, my nephew up there, scored a touchdown. They're going to go overseas and play NFL Europe's team.
What?
Yes. In October, they're playing at Tottenham Stadium. De La Salle. Yeah. They're playing out there overseas. Wow. Yep.
Shout out De La Salle. One of the most, well-run organizations in terms of football in the entire state.
Dog was a mastiff. Kane Corso. That's according to Rob on a couple people on the Xfinity Mobile text line. Shout out to the Xfinity Mobile text line.
See, I have a belief. No, Trent's way larger than me, but I don't want to have a dog that I think could kill me the house.
Look at this black dog.
Yeah,
this dog
looks vicious. The Kane Corso is an Italian breed of mastiff.
Wow. Are you surprised Big Trent has a dog like that?
I mean, the dog's as big as he is.
So his brother.
That dog needs a saddle.
So his brother Instagram last night, Fredo Silver. Fredo Silver. I botched that. And it's Trent about to get on the PJ. Is that a silverback logo on the PJ? Look at the private jet. I think he's got a silverback logo. I don't even know what it is. But it's this big, massive.
Was that the Turner and Hooch dog? Is that same dog from Turner and Hooch?
Maybe. But, I mean, good Lord. Look at that dog. And Big Trent's got the big dog. All black. This dog looks vicious. I would not mess with Big Trent. Hey, Big Trent. All the things I said in August, I'll speak for myself here. I'm not going to speak for Shasky. I'll speak for myself. Hey, Big Trent, man. We just wanted you back, man. Yeah. It's all good.
Where my dog's at?
Hey, dude, we want you to get your bag, Big Trent. We don't care about the Super Bowl no more.
I mean, I just Google searched Trent Williams' dog, and his dog's about that life. That's all I'm going to say.
What?
He may have taken out one of his neighbor's dogs before.
Oh, boy.
Let's say the lab didn't have a chance
against the mastiff. I'm not laughing at it. I mean, look at this dog. That's the first thing I took away. Forget the private jet.
This is why my dogs don't go out often. They are like, it's literally like swallowing a grape if you were going after my little Pomeranian.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. This dog is huge. So year 15, let's get it. Silverback. So the silverback is back. Big Trent's back. So, Big Trent, welcome back, buddy. We're going to welcome you in open arms, man. East Texas in the house.
Get the choo-choo train going.
Choo-choo. Get the locomotive. This is Big Trent. I saw some Big Trent highlights as soon as this was posted. Somebody posted some Big Trent highlights.
Was it him punching the Eagles?
No, it was him smoking that dude from the Cardinals. Remember that?
Is his most iconic Niner moment when he pointed the finger laughing at the Cowboy fan?
That might be it.
Or is it Boombox Trent?
Or is it him just punking some dude from the Green Bay Packers in the end zone with Trey Lance running around for a touchdown? I mean, he did that against the Cardinals. Big Trent's he's a bully, man. And his dog looks like a bully. I can't get over this big mastiff. I can't get over it. Keep me away from that dog.
Considering he's got a criminal record, I think we should stay away from the dog.
Criminal record. Oh, man. By the way, Joy 95.7 game at Hardy Park Friday, September 6th for the Pentatelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament. Chaska will be out there.
I need to get a new gap wedge. I'll be out there.
Benefiting the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area, go to 95.7game.com to learn more. Presented by ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. That was the first thing I took away, Chaska, was the big-ass dog. Segment sponsored by Go to St. Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStLumber.com. Let's get to Lars and Pacifica. Lars and Pacifica, what's happening, man? You're on the roast.
Yo, guys, hope you had a fantastic Labor Day. Got to enjoy some good food with your families. One thing I want to say is this Niner team, it's starting to remind me of the last Warriors team when we won against the Celtics. Veteran team, you know, the gang is back together again. Ayuk's in the building. Trent's going to come in and sign today. The media is counting us out everywhere except for here in the Bay Area. So, I mean, it's just for some reason for me, man, it's just feeling very similar. And I think this 49er fan's got to be stoked. And we're finally coming into the year where it's like, all right, you know, let me show you what I got when everybody's already counting us out. And I don't know, I'm just seeing similarities between what everyone is thinking the Golden State Warriors were going to do that year, and everybody saying Brock Purdy's going to regress. I think Brock Purdy's going to have his Steph Curry, you know, breaking three-point record season, and that's all I got. Go Niners.
I'm very interested and excited to see what Brock has in store this year. Just looking around at watching the NFL, it's preseason, so not a lot of the starters are playing, but his pocket presence, there's just a difference between him and, you know, any backup quarterback that you see playing. Like, they're all frenetic and they're holding the ball. He's just so calm back there. And, you know, I don't love when he's spinning around trying to throw the ball 30 yards across the field, but that's not what he's going to be asked to do during the regular season. And I'm very excited to see what he looks like. He did not need to be playing behind Jalen Moore. Like, yeah. If you were looking for any reason on why they need to get Trent Williams in, just look at his jersey from the preseason game. It was covered in green stains. And that tells me, like, get Trent here, like, yesterday, you know? And so I'm glad that he's back, because Brock Purdy's going to be a pocket quarterback, and he's going to thrive from within the pocket. You got to have your left tackle there.
Got to have Jalen Moore. Boy.
He's not good.
That would have been rough. I mean, think about this. I'm on vacation, somebody's asking me about Big Trent. And actually, you know, a lot of East Coast people, I got to shout them out. New Yorkers and Philadelphians, I guess that's what they call them. They were like, you Niner fans, they fear the 49ers.
Why?
They just think, they're like, Philly fans are like, we just know the Niners are going to be there. And they have so much talent. And New Yorkers were like, dude, don't trip. Trent's going to be back. Ayuk's going to be there. You guys are good. They just think highly. Like, in our own bubble, we're like, oh, Shanahan this, and I don't know if Purdy can do this, and boy, McCaffrey's got to say it. Out there in the East Coast, they're like, you guys got the best team. It's not even close. Like, they fear the 49ers, which kind of made me feel good. It did make me feel good.
Do you believe in, like, Madden? Like the ratings being as a great, accurate kind of assessment of where your team is?
I don't like admitting this on hot air. I kind of do. I do kind of look at the ratings, because that's a national pool.
Yeah.
That's people from not just the Bay Area.
And they can miss. Like, I think Aaron Banks is ranked way too low in the video game, for example. Like, they can miss on things. I'm not saying it's the end-all, be-all. But I play with the Niners, and I did a full season. And let me just say, Brock broke a lot of passing records.
Yeah.
And the Avengers look pretty sweet. The guy who was really popping, and Matt Maiocco brought this up, and I found it to be interesting. But the guy in the video game who I think is one of the more fun players is Debo. Debo is, and McCaffrey's outstanding in the game. But Debo Samuel was unreal in Madden. And I'm saying to myself, like, all right, well, what does Debo have cooked in store this year? And I think we're really sleeping on Debo having a monster year. Matt Maiocco said, of all the training camps he's been to, that Debo has been here, this was hands down his best training camp.
Yeah, I don't know if... I think sleeper's a strong word, because we know who Debo is.
Well, bounce back.
And we know... I thought he had a great... I thought he had a very good season. He got over 1,000 scrimmage yards.
Yeah, but do you think he thought it was an A season?
Maybe not, but because of the injuries. But you look at that NFC Championship game. The dude did catch 9 balls.
Oh, he was
in that game.
He was unbelievable.
So you know what I'm saying. We know what Debo looks like, and we understand that it's a contract year, and he moved his number from 19 to 1. So I don't know. I don't know if sleeping on him. But by the way, Madden, since you brought up Madden,
he runs too with the arm like this.
Last season's Madden, I was running a franchise with the Cleveland Browns. And my quarterback was always in an MVP race with Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy ended up playing like 19 years.
Oh.
I played like 15 and was an all pro every season. So some of the Madden stuff where you like, wow, they really think highly of Ayuk and they think highly of Trent. Huh. They think highly of Brock Purdy. Yeah, the Niners are loaded. Folks, the top 100 on the NFL Network. How many Niners was on that list?
There were 8.
All right. I mean, come on. Think about the all pros. Think about the players, the premium players at each position. They are ready to roll here. So when you bring up Brock Purdy and what he can do for an encore, who's to say he can't throw more than 31 touchdowns? Who's to say he can't throw for over 4,500 yards if the Niners do pass him? You got to remember, Brock Purdy broke the record, and they were third to last in pass attempts per game.
And he didn't even play in Week 17. And I know the 17th game is going to kind of dilute certain things, but he also came out of that 0-1 game with a concussion a little early, remember?
Right. No, I do.
So here's the thing with the Niners. Quarterback, I think they're going to be slightly better, right? Whether he has a better season or not, I don't know. But I think in his third year, he's going to be better. I think his mind is sharp. I think his body was clearly healthier than he was last year where he had to take time off during training camp. Offensive line, I think they're better. I think Dominic Pooney is going to be better than Burford, and Feliciano. I don't know about Colt McKivitz. He's still a big question mark for me. I think they're slightly better. Tight ends, they're about the same, right? Yeah. Running backs, about the same.
Well, I think J.P. Mason is running a lot better.
Okay, I still think McCaffrey's a good point, but Jordan Mason looks like he can
play the part. Elijah Mitchell is going to be out for the season, unfortunately, with the hamstring or whatnot. Garindo's got a lot of speed.
Yeah, he's got a lot of
speed.
Though.
He's got to stay healthy, and he can't stay. But he's got a lot of speed. I'm very intrigued with him. But Mason looks like he's going to take another step this year.
And okay, wide receiver. I think they're a little deeper. I think adding Cowings adds a dynamic that they just haven't had the last three seasons.
I love Jacob Cowings.
I know. I do, too. I'm really high on him. Special teams. I think their special teams is a huge question mark in terms of kick return, punt return, coverage, all that. We will see, right? That's every team in the league right now.
You feel good about Jake Moody, though?
I do. He only missed one field goal in the preseason. Yeah. I thought he was good. Punter, I like Presley Harvin. I know, like, they're going to keep Wisnowski. Whatever. We'll see. Defense. These are the two areas where I think there's a huge question mark. Defensive tackle, replacing Dre Greenlaw at linebacker. I like the winners on tape. I like what I've heard from practice. You're replacing one of the best outside linebackers in the game, in Dre Greenlaw, who plays brilliantly in tandem with Fred Warner. When you're mentioned in the same sentence as Willis and Bowman, you're pretty special. So that's going to be a huge unknown. Let's see what happens there. Then defensive tackle. Can the Malik Collins, Javon Hargrave, and whoever the hell else is on the team, can they be better than whatever you got from Eric Armstead when he was healthy and Hargrave at the beginning of last year? Hargrave fell off. Those are the only areas on the entire team, to me, that look like unknowns.
Well, those are big question marks, though.
Everyone I do else, like Collins. I think we're better.
Well, defensive end, you have Bosa and Leonard Floyd, but what happens if one of them goes down?
Well, I think a lot of teams would say that.
Yeah, but depth, they don't even – I would like to have three pass rushers. Like, you think about those great New York Giants teams that won the Super Bowls in 07 and 11. They had a deep, deep – defensive line. They had the NASCAR pass rush on third downs. Who was it? Tuck, O.C. Umanyora, who was Michael Strahan.
It was
JPP. They had a lot of guys here. Yeah. If Bosa or Leonard Floyd does go down, if they do go down, Robert Beale Jr., is he ready for this? There's a big drop-off here. Either Carlos Matos, we don't know him yet. We don't know what type of player he is. We'll see, but edge depth is a concern of mine. Up in the middle, Jordan Elliott, Kevin Givens, backing up Hargrave and Malik Collins. We'll see about that. But there are question marks here. And then Hufanga, where is he going to be at? Are we ready just to see Hufanga? Like, I feel good with Tig Brown. I feel good with Mustafa. Well, I feel good with George Odom.
I think they're going to play three safeties a lot.
Sometimes on third down. Yeah, I've heard that. So we'll see about that.
I think Tig and Hufanga are going to play together. And I don't know. Maybe George Odom. Maybe you get a little Malik Mustafa. I'm not worried about secondary. I think this is the deepest secondary they've had since going back to like the 2011-2012 Harbaugh teams.
This is a very good secondary. Very good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.